So it's been a difficult week in a number of ways, in many ways. And as I go into this morning's scripture, I have to ask myself a lot of questions. And I hope that that's what each one of us can do this morning. Ask ourselves the questions that God gives us from His Word and let it examine us. We're working through the Beatitudes, and so we're in verse 7 of chapter 5, and I'm just going to read right up through verse 7 from the beginning of chapter 5. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Zach shared some very good words for us about mercy this morning. Thanks, Zach, for that. A few more things that I'd like to say this morning about mercy. What is mercy? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Maybe Jesus is saying you are merciful and other people around you will be merciful, but I think the main idea Jesus has here is blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. God shows us mercy. I think that's the primary response there, because we can always expect God to be merciful. So what is mercy? Mercy is, first of all, forgiveness. That's one aspect. There's a couple of aspects to mercy that I want to touch on this morning. But the first aspect of mercy is forgiveness. So we could say, blessed are those who forgive, for they shall obtain, or they will obtain, forgiveness. We find this principle throughout the New Testament. It's in the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then a little bit later, right after the Lord's Prayer, it says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And in James 2:13, it says, "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." So there's this sort of reciprocity that we find going on here. As we do, so it is done for us. Now this could lead one to the conclusion that we earn God's forgiveness or mercy by extending it to others. But forgiveness and mercy does not begin with us. It emanates from God. It begins with Him. We experience God's forgiveness first. It becomes clear in some of Jesus' other teaching. It's clear in Matthew 18, in Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant. And so I'd like to read that this morning. From Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." He's going to lose everything. "The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, and he canceled the debt and let him go. No more debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and he began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But instead, But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and they told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." So the forgiveness begins with God. In this parable, it begins with the master who forgives the servant with a debt that was so great he could never pay it. He forgives his debt. It shows that forgiveness is extended first by God. If we've truly understood our own great need for God's forgiveness, and even for the forgiveness of others in our lives, then we will forgive those who sin against us. So forgiveness begins with God. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Jesus tells another story in Luke 7. I'd like to share that this morning as well. It's an event. It's what took place with Jesus. Luke 7, verse 36. "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house, and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought in an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, and she kissed them and poured perfume on them." When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, and that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Another story here about people being in debt. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." The forgiveness begins with God. God brings forgiveness. Out of that comes our response. Really, to the extent that we have experienced God's forgiveness in our lives. In the other parable of the unmerciful servant, evidently the servant did not really fully perceive the forgiveness of his debt by the king. He still saw himself as a debtor, and he needed money, and he went after the other man. So forgiveness begins with God. We have to experience it ourselves. There's a couple of things that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not justifying or understanding someone's behavior is not the same as forgiving them. Realizing that a person made a comment to you that hurts you while under stress may be part of the process of forgiving, but it's not in itself forgiving. Otherwise, we're really saying that they had a right to hurt me in what they did, and that they cannot be held responsible. So forgiving always involves recognizing that someone has hurt us, and it was wrong. They should not have done it. We do not excuse the behavior, but we release them. That's forgiveness. There's a story about a mother who ran into the bedroom when she heard her 7-year-old son scream. She found his 2-year-old sister pulling his hair. She gently released the little boy's grip and said comfortingly to the boy, "There, there, she didn't mean it. She doesn't know that it hurts." He nodded his acknowledgement and she left the room. As she started down the hall, the little girl screamed. Rushing back in, she asked, "What happened?" The little boy replied, "She knows it hurts now." We acknowledge the hurt. That's part of where we lead on to forgiveness. Forgiveness is not time healing all wounds. Sometimes we hear that time heals all wounds. It's not true. A wound left to itself over time gets worse. Time may be part of the process, but time alone will not heal the wounds. That's not forgiveness. Denying our hurt, denying that we were really hurt, is not forgiveness. Forgiveness can only take place when we face the pain. But sometimes we kind of say, "Oh, that's okay, don't worry about it." When maybe what we need to do is say, "Yeah, that really hurt, but I forgive you." We may need to hear that on both sides. So those are some things that forgiveness isn't, but what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is forgetting and separating. Psalm 103 says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God separates us from our sin. He separates it away from us. He removes it from us. And then in Hebrews it says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." God forgets our sin. Now one of the parts of forgiving here, of forgetting, well, memory is a wonderful creation. We need our memories. But it says that God forgets our sin and tells us only to worry about today. We can't just empty our memory like a waste can. Probably the only way we can really do it is by displacement, by filling our mind with different thoughts than the ones that keep coming back to us. What do you think of first when you see a person? If it's a hurt that they have caused, at that point you have a choice to fill your mind with that thought or to displace it with some other thoughts. Clara Barton, the founder of the American Red Cross, was reminded one day of a vicious deed that someone had done to her years before. She acted as if she'd never even heard of the incident. "Don't you remember it?" her friend said. "No," came Barton's reply. "I distinctly remember forgetting it." So she did, of course, remember, but she's choosing to forget. She's choosing to displace those thoughts. When we've been hurt by someone, it's natural to begin hating them. It's also natural to begin building up a caricature of them, which is bad. You know what a caricature is, right? We see it in the political cartoons all the time, of the president or somebody else. And they pull out just a few characteristics and they magnify those characteristics. It's not a realistic picture, but it's a way that we identify that person. When we're hurt by someone, what we view as negative about them will begin to stand out. Part of forgiving is beginning to see beyond those traits and drawing a more realistic picture and understanding picture of that person. That's part of forgiveness. Unfortunately, we can even begin to transfer our strong feelings towards one person, toward another person who displays the same kind of traits. So we have to really work at that. Forgiveness is also desiring good for the one forgiven. Forgiveness means we let them off the hook. The hook that calls for revenge. And we move in the opposite direction, which is desiring and even bringing good to them. A simple way to begin this part of the process is to pray for the other person or to look for a way to bless them. How do you bless the person that you forgive? Well, I told you there's two aspects to mercy. The first one is forgiveness. The second is compassion. Compassion is part of this idea of mercy. Compassion is not just sympathy, but it's the idea of getting into the shoes or inside the skin of another to the point that you can see as they see, feel as they feel, and even think as they think. It requires a deliberate effort of our mind and our will to do that. It comes from a deliberate effort to identify with the other person. It's what we often fail to do, don't even try to do sometimes. We're often so concerned with or even consumed with our own feelings and thoughts and point of view that we can't get ourselves inside the other person's skin. But it's this kind of compassion that can help us to forgive and help us in responding to those that we come in conflict with. As I've read a number of different articles on the whole conflict in our culture right now between those who kneel during the anthem in the NFL and those who are greatly offended by that, the best articles that I've read about it are those who are able to get inside the skin of both groups of people and to understand what's going on there and to understand where each group is coming from. Is this not what God did for us in Christ Jesus? In the very literal sense, Jesus, as God, got inside man's skin. He came as a man, seeing and feeling and thinking as a man. Inside our life. Forgiveness and compassion. Two aspects of mercy. Those who show mercy receive mercy, Jesus says. This morning and this week, I call on you to explore your life. If there's anyone whom you have not forgiven, you cannot continue this way without harming yourself. Forgiving is hard. It's not something that we do on a whim. It takes some hard work. But if we don't forgive, we'll be bound up. We'll never be free. I'd like to ask the worship team to come forward. Let's pray together. Please stand. Father, I thank you for your great mercy in our lives. You are merciful, and we celebrate that, Lord. Lord, you are compassionate. You're full of compassion for us. It says in your word that you know how we're made. So, Father, I ask that we would experience your forgiveness, your compassion in our lives in such a way that we also would be full of forgiveness. full of compassion for others. Enable us, Lord, to understand where others come from. Enable us, Lord, to understand what they see and feel and perceive. And in that understanding, Lord, may we be filled with compassion, moved to compassionate action. In Jesus' name, amen.